neat to see all these outstanding performances, right? Like, wow, wow. When it's the Olympics, I like to play a little game, which is called, what Olympic sport would your parents compete in? I think it's funny. So I thought maybe we'd play that this morning. Brooke, if your dad was an Olympic athlete, what sport do you think he would compete in? Rowing? All right. Zach, what about your dad? Or your mom? Power sprinting. Gold medalist, absolutely. And I see back at the back, too. You know, I'm not going to let you guys get back to what I can see. Let's see here. Trisha, where is your mom competing, do you suppose, if she would compete?
She's a long jumper, high jumper.
I don't know what it would be that Ben would say I would compete in, but oh boy, not 100 meters. It was incredible. It's phenomenal, eh, to see these athletes perform. And you know, with Julie doing her training for marathon stuff, I think, wow, the amount of training and dedication and sacrifice that these athletes put into getting ready for the games is pretty tremendous. I know what Julie's doing to get ready for running marathons. I did a little bit of looking around on the internet to find what other athletes do for training plans. I found a few. Natalie Coughlin, she's a swimmer who's won some gold medals. She didn't compete this year. But this is an idea of what she has put into preparing to win gold medals at the Olympics. For the past 3 years, her training schedule has been the same every day. She's in the water about 8 times a week, 1.5 to 2 hours every time. Add to that gym time 4 times a week, where she's doing CrossFit and weight training, plus you've got the recovery treatments and dietary restrictions. She's doing upwards of 30 or 35 hours a week of single intense intense workouts every single week. A little closer to home, you might have seen this picture in the Brant News. Krista Duchesne, she's from Brantford. She actually is quite open about being a believer, a Christian. She goes to Brant Community Church. I read a bit of her blog. She competed in the marathon this year. And one entry that she had on her blog really caught my eye. She sat down in 2002 and kind of did the math. She said, okay, I want to try and get to the Olympics. I need to think about, you know, I want to have kids. I might have injuries. One of the kids going to be in school. Sat down in 2002, did the math, and figured 2016 would be the year for her shot to get to the Olympics. And she's in Rio right now. She competed. The dedication and effort and commitment to get to the Olympics is incredible, right? Eyes on the prize and live accordingly. If you think about it, that's apt for athletes, but it's good for us to think about too as Christians. Eyes on the prize and live accordingly. Unlike Olympic athletes, though, sometimes we are a little bit sloppy in our Christian life. You know, that certainly was the case for the Corinthian church that Paul wrote to, the passage that Ross read to us just a minute ago. See, these believers in Corinth were people who, you know, said, we follow Jesus. They had been baptized. They ate the Lord's Supper. They had their eyes on the prize of eternal life, but they really weren't living accordingly. You know, as you read through all of 1 Corinthians, you get this picture of a really selfish, self-centered church, right? They would get together to have the Lord's Supper. At that point in history, the Lord's Supper was a meal, right? They would actually sit down and eat together. And all of the people who had a lot of money and could get off work early would come and they would eat all the food. And then the poorer people would get there and there would be nothing left for them. Paul scolds them for that. You've got people who are choosing sides, like, oh, we're a bigger fan of this leader, we're a bigger fan of this leader, and they're causing divisions in the church. That's Corinth. You've got people who are using the gift that God has given them for their own benefit. They're trying to show how good and influential they are. That's Corinth. Paul says, guys, you may have your eyes on the prize, but you're not living accordingly. Their final goal was not impacting the way that they lived. To address that problem, Paul picks up this image of an Olympic athlete or an athlete in training, and he says to the Corinthians, and he says to us, see how these athletes train, how they work in order to go for the gold. Apply that same sort of discipline in your Christian life. Eyes on the prize, live accordingly. Now, it is neat that the Olympics are on. That's kind of why I started to think about this. And this is a passage about athletes, but there's even a closer connection. And this may help to explain why I was wearing celery earlier. In ancient Greece, there was not just the Olympics. The Olympics were just year one of a four-year Olympiad. Okay, so year one, you would have the Olympics. And then every other year, there would be another set of games, Isthmian Games and Nemean Games, and then there was another one in the middle. And so it would just go 4 years over and over and over again. The Isthmian Games is the one that's particularly interesting to us. It's named after an isthmus. How's your high school geography? Do you remember what an isthmus is? It connects a piece of land bridging between two larger pieces of land, okay? So the Isthmian Games got their name from the isthmus that they were located in. The city that hosted the games was in the middle of the isthmus. Guess what city was in the middle of the isthmus? Corinth. Corinth is where the Isthmian Games happened. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and saying, remember every other year how you have those athletic games, the Isthmian Games? Know how those athletes train. Scholars actually figured that when Paul was in Corinth, he would have been there around the same time as the Isthmian Games happened. So Paul was probably in the stands watching these games unfold when he was in Corinth. Then later he went someplace else and he wrote this letter back to the Corinthian church and he said, okay, I've seen your athletes. I've seen what they do. Take a page out of their playbook and act accordingly in your life. Here's what I want to do today. I want to look really closely at those four verses that Ross has read for us. I think it's a very powerful image, but as one commentary that I read this week, one from the 70s, by a really, really good author, wrote, the metaphor creaks a little bit, which is to say, it's a good metaphor, but it's just a metaphor, okay? If you push it too far, you can misunderstand the metaphor. So let's get into what God has to say for us. Then I want to spend a few minutes at the end thinking about how we're going to apply this in our own situation. So join me at verse 24. If you've got your Bible open in front of you, that would be great. And if not, we'll have it up on the screen here. Paul writes, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. That last line really is Paul's main point. Run your Christian life in such a way as to get the prize. Go for the gold, right? Run as if you were Usain Bolt going after your Christian life. Race with the intention of winning the prize, which in Christian life is eternal life with God. Race in such a way as we get the prize, but what do we make of that first statement? Only one gets the prize. Does that mean that at the end of the age, there will only be one Christian who lives eternally? Of course not, right? And this is a point at which the metaphor starts to creak a little bit. The point of the metaphor is not so much who wins the race, but how you race. Do you get that? Remember, it's not who wins the race. The picture is how you race. Race with discipline, race with single-mindedness, the sort of discipline that's required to win the prize. Paul says, listen, don't just go out for a leisurely jog in your Christian life. Run to win. Verse 25, Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. That's true. You know that from athletes in our day and age. And the same was true in ancient Corinth. I've read a bunch of commentaries this week. I saw notes where it would said these competitors would make a pledge. They would swear an oath to train for 10 months prior to the games. And if they broke that training program during the 10 months, they would be disqualified from the prize. Notice, everyone who competes goes into strict training. It's not just the winner who trains, right? We saw the 100-meter final. There were 8 men lined up, but only one of them was going to win. Nonetheless, all of them had put in tremendous amounts of effort. Every one of those athletes had invested time and sacrifice and effort. Remember, the point of our metaphor is not the winner, but how you run that race. So run with training and discipline. We'll continue here. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You know, that's a neat statement. Paul says, look at these athletes. They train, they work hard, they put in all this effort. Only one of them will win the prize. Oh, that's right. And this is the prize. A crown of wilted celery. And, I mean, theirs would have been much more regal than this, I'm sure. But this is the prize. The Isthmian Games, you would win a crown of celery, literally. For a while it was pine, and then they switched back to celery. I don't know if celery is more comfortable to wear than pine or what, but You train for 10 months and all you get is a lousy celery crown? Of course, there's more to it than that, right? Like, a lot of the cities that sponsored the athletes would give money to their athletes. There would be a great deal of prestige for your city, for your family, for the athlete themselves. Get your face on the box of ancient Wheaties. But the point, Paul says, is this. They go after it, but those rewards vanish. Right? They put in all this effort, they put in all this work, they make all these sacrifices in the hopes that they will be the one person who is good enough to win. Right? There's no gold, silver, bronze in the Isthmian Games. There's just celery. In the hopes that they will be the one person who wins, but that prize will eventually be gone. Right, that crown is going to wither. Somebody else is going to break their record. But Paul says, we are running for a crown that's going to last forever. In the Christian race, our prize is not a crown that wilts or a medal that can be stolen or a record that can be broken. It's eternal life. Life in a body that can run 100 meters in 10 seconds, I'm sure. We are running to get a prize that will last forever. So Paul says, with my eyes on that prize, eternal life, I want to live accordingly. I want to do what it takes to get it. Remember, not so much who wins, but how you run the race. Therefore, verse 26, since I am going after an eternal crown, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. There's a picture of purpose here, right? Since he knows how great the prize is, he goes for it with purpose, with intentionality, not running aimlessly, not shadow boxing. Rather, verse 27, Paul says, I beat my body and I make it my slave. Okay. That's a big statement. Is Paul saying that we need to abuse our bodies to be faithful Christians? I mean, some people have taken it that way, right? If you've seen the Da Vinci Code, you know, the flagellation stuff and all these things. I don't love the NIV translation here. I'm not entirely sure why they chose these words. I mean, literally, you can make it out this way, but I'm not sure it captures the sense of what Paul's saying. If you've got the Living Bible or the English Standard, even the King James, I think you'll see a better translation. Paul literally writes something like this, I treat my body roughly. Which is to say, I treat my body with self-control and with discipline. and I enslave my body. That is, I put it under my control. The force of what Paul says here is, look, I just don't do whatever my bodily appetites feel like. I look at the prize and I bring my body into line with what it will take to win that prize. Eyes on the prize and act accordingly means that I will go after this prize with self-discipline and with self-control. Verse 27 continues, I will act with self-discipline, self-control, so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified for the prize. Another tricky statement, I would say. Does this mean that in the Christian race, a person can lose the prize by failing to perform adequately? Right? If you push the logic of the metaphor, you could see it going like this. I want to win the prize. I will work hard so that I will win the prize. That sounds like I'm earning the prize, right? That sounds like I'm getting it in my own merit. Transfer it over to the Christian walk, and it sounds like this is works righteousness. But remember, this is a metaphor, right? Paul is using it to tell us how to train, how to run, not how to win. This is Paul, right, who wrote in Ephesians, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. Right? In Titus, Paul said he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. To understand verse 27, I think we have to sit it beside another passage, a passage in Philippians that we didn't spend a whole lot of time on. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians and flip over to Philippians. Paul uses the very same prize language in Philippians. Philippians 3, verse 12, Paul says this, not that I have already obtained all of this, that is the prize, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Notice, Paul's pressing on, right? He is making an effort to grab hold of something for which Jesus has already claimed him. Notice the order, right? Jesus has claimed him, so now Paul is pressing on. What's Paul pressing on towards? Verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. It's the very same word as in 1 Corinthians 9. Press on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Because God has called me heavenward, because Jesus has taken a hold of me, Paul says, I press on to win the prize. By claiming us, God has guaranteed for us the prize, but we still have to run the race. And here, I think, is the point of the whole metaphor. We win by trusting Jesus. We run the race with single-mindedness, fervor, sacrifice that an athlete puts into running and catching his prize. We're not trying to win in our own strength. Jesus has won the prize for us. Nonetheless, we run with thanksgiving to show our gratitude, our awareness of what it is Jesus has done in winning for us the prize. Know that there is an important difference. The athlete looks to the prize, trains his body, makes sacrifices in the hopes that he will win the prize. The Christian looks to the prize, realizes Jesus has already won for us the prize on the cross. And so we train our body knowing that we will receive it. The prize is mine because of Jesus' sacrifice. Run with discipline and sacrifice in light of that gift. I think Paul uses the language of lest I be disqualified because he's running to Corinthians, right? Who, they know the prize. They are probably thinking they're living in light of it, but they're just totally not, right? Their lifestyle doesn't show that they appreciate what it is that they're running for, this eternal life that Jesus has given them. They're like, oh, you know what? We've won the prize. It doesn't matter how we act now. We can act for our own benefit. That's just what people do. Paul says, no, don't get it mixed up. Because Jesus has won you the prize, run for his benefit. Run for the benefit of others. You know, we need to rejoice that the prize is ours, eternal life is ours, through what Jesus has done, not through our own performance. But we do need to hear this warning, I think. We do need to be reminded sometimes and spurred on to say, so, run the race with discipline, with self-control.
Lots there, right? We've gone really, really deeply into four verses because I want to make sure that you don't misunderstand it, but I also want to make sure that you understand it. So let's just kind of come back up out of the Bible for a minute, and I want to give you one statement to kind of work our mind around. Here's pretty much the point of Paul's passage. With a prize is great, you got to run right. With a prize, like eternal life, you got to run right. So let's talk about this great prize, eternal life. When an athlete comes up to the starting line, they hope that their performance will be enough to gain the prize that they have trained for. You've seen the pictures, they go down the line with the camera, and each athlete has their own way of acknowledging that the camera is in front of them. Some of them are like, whatever they do on their thing. In that moment, they're hoping, oh man, I hope I've trained hard enough. I hope this is going to be enough to achieve for me the prize. I love the bluntness, though, of Paul's image. That's what inspires. This is what inspires 10 months of training. You're going after this. If this inspires utter training, utter commitment, and sacrifice, then how much more should the prize of eternal life spur us on, right? We're not racing in the hopes of getting a celery crown. We're racing with the knowledge that because Jesus already run the race flawlessly, won it, and shared the victory with us, we will get the prize. What a great prize it is. Eternal life. I said something off the cuff a minute ago. Let me just clarify it too. Our hope isn't floating on clouds like Velveeta cream cheese commercials. Remember the cream cheese commercials with the clouds and the angels and stuff? When the Bible talks about eternal life, it talks about living in bodies that are perfected, that are free of disease, free of weakness. And so, I said a minute ago, maybe we can run like Usain Bolt in the new heavens and the new earth. I don't have a good biblical reference that I can put my finger on, but we're going towards good, healthy, perfect bodies. That's where we're headed. That's a great prize, to live eternally. With such a great prize, we got to run right. Okay, two questions for you. First, why? Why do we have to run right? I've struggled with this question a lot this week, I'll be really honest with you. I'm trying to wrap my brain around it, and I think a part of it is remembering, okay, Paul is using a metaphor to tell us how to run. He's not necessarily telling us why. He's really focused on just run this way. We are not running to earn the prize. It's not my performance that gets me the prize. It's Jesus' performance. When we trust Jesus' saving work on the cross, the prize is ours. And yet Paul says, run after it with discipline and with self-control and with purpose. Why? I think the answer is this. It's hard work being a Christian. Right? It's easy to come to church a day, like one Sunday a week. But what did Jesus say? If anybody wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and come after me. That's hard. Putting your interests down so that you put the interests of somebody else first is hard work. Going to Why Not, telling somebody about Jesus can be scary. It's hard work. It takes effort. And you need to live intentionally and purposefully to actually say, okay, Jesus has saved me. I need to bring my body in line with that and live accordingly. There's an image that Dallas Willard in his classic book, Spirit of Disciplines, uses. I'll never forget it. It's like the first 10 pages of the book, and it just knocked me off my seat. And I was like, well, I'm done reading this book. I got all I needed to out of it. Dallas Willard, he says this, no athlete who expects to excel in his field will fail to prepare for it. Right? Any athlete who thinks, I'm going to go and have a shot at winning, is going to prepare first. It would be ridiculous, right, for me to say, you know what's gonna, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go up in a race against Usain Bolt, and I'm gonna run 100 meters, and I'm gonna try and beat him, but I'm not gonna prepare. Because I think I can do it. If I believe in myself hard enough, I can do it. I can totally take Usain Bolt. Can you imagine how pathetic a scene that would be? He'd be like at the finish line, and I'd be just kind of still hanging out at the back of the, at the starting line. If I was going to try and do that, I would need to prepare a lot, right? Like I'd be needing to run a whole lot more, change the way that I eat, change the way that I sleep, all these sorts of things. If you want to excel in your sport, you need to prepare for it. Dallas Willard flips it over and he says, okay, that's the same for us in our Christian life. We can't expect to go out into the world and act in godly ways without preparing ourselves when we are alone. We need to practice self-control. We need to be engaged in prayer. We need to be intentional about reading the Bible to know what it is that God intends for us in our lives. The pursuit of the prize needs to become our life. I think that's why Paul says you should run like this. Finally, what does it look like to run with purpose? With such a great prize, you got to run right. What does it look like? What does it look like to run with self-control and discipline? You know, in the verses immediately before our passage, so you know, if 24 and 27 is here, the verses immediately before, Paul is talking about putting the needs of others before his own, especially in an evangelistic context. So that's one way to look at it. In order to live with self-control, to run with run the race in the way that an athlete would expect to win, we run our Christian life by putting the interests of others before our own. That's just before in our passage. Just afterwards, Paul talks about a time in Israel's history where Israel indulged in immorality, sexual immorality. You know your circumstances, right? You know the places where you need to live in your life with self-control and with discipline. You know for yourself what it will look like, I'm sure. Run with discipline and self-control. I think it's valuable, too, for each of us to think about our relationship with God. Are you getting to know God personally, intentionally? I want to encourage each of you to have a plan for reading your Bible. You know, it doesn't matter to me as much what it looks like as the fact that you have a time that you sit down and read your Bible on a daily basis, as much as you can. If it's 5 minutes, spend time getting to know God in the Bible. Spend time praying. There's a great prize given us by a great God. Go for it. At the beginning, I mentioned our own Brantford Olympian, Krista Duchesne. I thought I'd just close with an insight from her her blog. There's a screenshot here. I don't know if you can see that or not. There's a little chocolate brownie or something and some ice cream on top. The caption reads, "Last indulgence for 6 months until Olympic marathon in Rio on August 14th, 2016. That's Valentine's Day. Chocolate always tastes better after a race, she says. I'll share with you what she wrote, because it's kind of hard to read. Love and sacrifices are part of Team Duchesne's Olympic plans. That's the title. She writes, "Today is Valentine's Day, and I am writing alone, sitting alone in my pajamas in my hotel room after having dinner alone. It is the first February 14th I haven't spent with my husband. Tomorrow is family day, and I will spend most of it alone without my family on my return trip home. After racing the Vancouver first half marathon, I was to fly home in the afternoon, but that flight was canceled. But it didn't bother me. You see, every day spent with my husband is filled with tremendous mutual love and respect. And every day spent with my family is family day. I don't need those dates marked onto a calendar. If this Olympic year means a lot of sacrifices along the way, so be it. We can celebrate in exactly 6 months on August the 14th after the Olympic women's marathon when Team Duchesne is in Rio together." I love the way that she focuses on the date. She focuses on the goal. She focuses on the prize. right? August the 14th, we will celebrate. And there is a that day for each of us too, right? When we run in light of that day, we go for it with purpose. It may mean sacrifices along the way, but if it does, so be it. Because the prize is eternal life in glorified bodies given by God freely himself, then let us run, eyes on the prize, live accordingly. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the prize that you've set before us. Thank you for eternal life and for the for the way that you have freely given it to us. God, we want to live in light of this prize. We want to live faithfully to give thanks. I pray that you would direct each of us to see how we can live with self-control and with discipline in our lives. God, I pray that you would show us areas where we need to be specific about exercising discipline in our own life. These athletes, they compete, they prepare, they give us an example of what it means to live in light of this prize. God, help us as we chase after eternal life, knowing you've given us that prize. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond.